Hey Mason, today we're digging into rethinking Indic AI from a lens of cultural heritage preservation. This paper earned today's slot because it moves the conversation away from just how do we make models work for more languages and toward how do we stop models from erasing the actual meaning of those languages. For someone like you, building a sovereign pipeline for Lakota, this is a vital warning. The core problem the authors, Aparna Madhva and her colleagues, identify is a phenomenon they call algorithmic homogenization. When we build large language models, we usually train them on massive scrapes of the internet. But for many parts of the world, that data is lopsided. It is often just English-centric data that has been translated into local languages. This creates a massive invisible problem. The model might get the words right, but it loses the worldview. It loses the specific way a culture thinks, relates to identity, or describes the world. The authors illustrate this beautifully with a comparison of how different languages handle a simple concept. In English, you might say, "I went to a movie with my friend," and the sentence is neutral. But in some Indic languages, the grammar forces you to specify the gender of that friend. In other cases, the way you describe owning a house might shift from a concept of legal possession to a concept of identity or belonging. If a model is trained on translated English, it will default to the English way of thinking, effectively colonizing the logic of the target language. Speak en Elodie Ramanza Chibar. To understand why this happens, the paper dives deep into the mechanical complexity of these languages. They look at the Akshara system, which is a phonetic, syllable-based writing system. Unlike English, where you just string letters together, these languages build syllables by modifying consonants with vowels, often using diacritics that can appear above, below, or to the sides of a character. This makes tokenization, the way a model breaks down text, incredibly difficult. If your tokenizer is designed for English, it is going to butcher these complex, multi-part characters. They also highlight the Paninian framework, which is a massive grammatical tradition dating back to the 6th century before the Common Era. This framework uses a system of case modifiers called karaka to show how words relate to each other. Because these modifiers handle the who did what to whom, the actual word order in the sentence can be very free. You can move words around for emphasis without changing the core meaning. If a model is trained on rigid English-style word order, it will struggle to parse the true intent of a free word order sentence. Then there is the issue of diglossia. This is a fancy way of saying there is a huge gap between the formal written version of a language used in books and the colloquial spoken version used in daily life. Most AI models are trained on the formal stuff. This means they are often functionally illiterate when it comes to how real people actually talk in their villages or communities. The Makinsugwa paper are less about a single new algorithm and more about a systemic critique. One major finding is that current large language models tend to align disproportionately with the linguistic patterns of specific, often urban, subpopulations. This means the model becomes a tool for the dominant group and a barrier for everyone else. Another finding is that even when we see improvements in translation, they are often minimal for languages with rich morphology, which are the languages that actually require the most care. The limitations of the paper are that it is a high-level survey and a call to action, rather than a technical implementation of a new architecture. It tells us what is wrong and where we should go, but it doesn't give us the specific code to build a culture sensing engine. So, what does this mean for your Lakota pipeline? First, what to adopt.
Adopt the mindset of phonetic diversity.
When you are evaluating your RAG system, do not just ask, is this factually correct? Ask, is this response culturally authentic? If your model is grounded in community-approved books, you are already ahead of the curve. You are fighting that homogenization by ensuring the logic of the model comes from the Lakota worldview, not from an English to Lakota translation layer. Second, what to test. You need to test your model specifically for the diglossia problem. If you are using OCR on legacy texts, those texts are likely very formal. You must test if your model can bridge the gap between that formal written legacy and the way the community actually speaks today. If your model only works on the old books, it isn't a community tool, it's a museum tool. Third, what to ignore. Do not get distracted by the scale at all costs mentality. The paper makes it clear that simply adding more data doesn't solve the cultural gap if that data is just more of the same lopsided translated content. In your work, a smaller, high-quality, community-governed dataset is infinitely more valuable than a massive, unverified scrape. Finally, here is the question you should ask the authors if you ever meet them.
How can we mathematically formalize cultural meaning so that it can be used as a loss function during training, rather than just being a qualitative check at the end?
If we can move from did the model get the word right to did the model respect the worldview, that is when we actually achieve language sovereignty. That's it for today. Catch you in the next one.